Good morning. Hope you're doing well on this Tuesday, September 5th, 2023, just coming out of the long weekend, the Labor Day long weekend. And this is musing moment number six. Back in 2021, I read Jill Taylor Bolt's book, Whole Brain Living. This book gave me a new insight into what, or better yet, who was taking the driving wheel of the motorhome that was my life's adventure. Jill had a stroke, shut down the left hemisphere of her brain, and for 8 years, she effectively left from the linear, external, pragmatic world. She lost her identity as an individual, her ability to communicate, her past memories, and her future aspirations were all gone. It was just a clean slate, a black void. She gained an experience of herself, of her one self, and her 50 trillion cells in that moment. And if you've ever done a psychedelic trip, I want you to think back to the biggest one that you've ever experienced and imagine being on that trip for 8 years, and you might get a glimpse into what Jill is talking about in her book and the experience of having that stroke. There is how we thought our brain worked. I'm sure most of us can agree that for a long time we believed that we fit in one of two groups. You were either a creative or a logical thinker. Right? You're either using the left side, the thinking side, or the right side, the emotional and the creative side. And this was what we all believed to be true. What we know now to be true, and a lot is coming from people like Jill, is that both hemispheres have emotional and thinking tissue associated to it. The difference is what each side does with the information. And this is where it gets really interesting. So the left, this is where the boundaries of where I begin and end are defined. Jill likes to call it where my skin meets the air. This is the emotions of my past moments and future life. The rational thinking that helps me relate to the external world. This is the space of ego and our identity, what defines us as an individual, the doing and controlling of our external world. And on the right side, this is where we relish in the experience of this present moment, where there is no past, no future, just now. This is where I'm most relaxed and most connected, where I am curious and playful, where I find joy in being around others who see the world like I do, where I'm in awe of my life, in gratitude for what is possible, where our thinking is linked to all that there is. I get that's a bit of abstract, but bear with me here. She talked about the four characters that live in your brain, in the right and the left hemisphere. And I won't go into the details of what Jill talks about and the theory of it. It's a very rich conversation. I highly recommend you watch her TED Talk and read her book, Whole Brain Living. And I'm happy to link that in the show notes here in this audio message. What I do want to talk about are my four characters. After I did this exercise for myself in 2021, I didn't revisit it with much intention. I knew about it. I remembered it. I recall vaguely what the characters were. It wasn't that it was overly complicated or hard to grasp. And for the time, it was enough for me. But I realize now, and this is pretty typical of anything that we take on, that mastery lives in our willingness to continue to just go deeper because you can. And today, in fact, it's been a thing on my mind for the last little while, wanting to revisit this, wanting to explore and more deeply define these characters for myself. And this weekend I did. And so I want to share that with you. So character one, his name is Magnus. That name is representative of the greatest. It's a powerful name. It's a strong name. I thought it was appropriate for my character one. He is the master of practice and a great warrior. He's the boss. He's the guy who gets shit done and always takes control, whether it be people, places, or things, when the opportunity presents itself, when the need really is required. He's defined by rational morality, what is right, wrong, good, and bad. Those of you who know me know Magnus well. He comes in hot and disruptive and will happily take over when he sees that what's meant to happen are not happening. He creates boxes and builds systems to hold and connect the boxes. While we fundamentally disapprove, and I say we, the collective me, disapprove with the construction of the box, him and I, he knows its value, but his obsession with order is also his biggest weakness, and he can find himself tied down and unable to move when given too much time to make things perfect. That's my character one. My character two, his name is Grimwald. Grimwald means the mask of power and master of destiny. He's always clashing with Magnus. He's the thinker and contemplator of all plausible outcomes. He really is the connector of dots, real or imagined, and he's the first one out. He's my martyr. He has chosen to leave this blissful world, to sacrifice his own peaceful heart. And these are the words from Jill as she describes character two, but they just, of course, make so much sense. I just had to use those words. He would leave this world to sacrifice his own peaceful heart in order to ensure the safety of everyone else. He is restless and compassionate. Grimwald is my ego. He who feels abandoned from all that I was and is always reliving the pain and trauma of the past. He is quick to blame others and the external world for my pain. He is not silenced very easily, and he is generally not a pleasant person to be around. As the cautious and cynical critic, he's the assessor of all potential threats, present and future, and who strives to keep us safe, me safe. He's overly protective. He's overly critical. He tends to push away from community and prefers isolation. His mantra is better safe than sorry. A little side note on my character too. Up until this writing and getting reconnected to my characters more deeply, I've held a view of Grimwald with my own resentment and disdain. The irony of that isn't missed on me, as I know it is Grimwald looking at himself. I thought that his role was so black and white and always intrusive of progress that he had to have less time navigating. And this was my way of disciplining his actions. Again, the irony isn't missed there. I understand now, though, more fully, that my character too has been my primary character for most of my life. A combination between Magnus and Grimwald. Grimwald is the Iron Man to my Superman, which would effectively be Magnus. He's reckless, but well-intentioned. He's the one who continues to bring up my past experiences, not to hide out, but to help me to reflect on them, to relate to them, to find peace with them, to move through them. I have a new deep respect and love for Grimwald. every battle wound is a reminder that he is the one who enables all the others to craft a better future because of the work that he's done to document and log the past. And this wasn't there before. Let's go on to my character three. His name is Isaac, and Isaac means the one who laughs or rejoices. He's the seeker of truth, of gratitude and creativity, the one who laughs and makes magic, the one who loves going deeper with people, uncovering the nuggets of life that bring meaning and purpose to our world. He's the one who will perform on stage because of the adrenaline it provides. He's the writer of thoughts, the connector of dots, the mapper of ideas, the builder of things. And then there's my character four. His name is Michael. And Michael is the name that represents or defined as who is like God. Now, I've mentioned many times that I have been a Christian. I am not a practicing Christian anymore, but I still believe in spirituality and that there are bigger forces at play, those that I can't possibly understand. And that character four is part of that. He's the character who is supreme consciousness. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the one source. Each of these characters has a particular role. Character one goes to work and has a fundamental need to be productive and bring order to chaos. Character two wants to make sure we're safe and goes to battle when we're not. Character three needs to connect, wants to go outside to play in the sun or do something creative. Character four needs to belong to something greater and comes out when we feel grateful and connected to others and to ourselves. For the most part, and this is from Jill's own book, each of these characters run rampant inside our head with minimal awareness of one another. The opportunity is to bring them together. In this context of living a purposeful life, we are satisfying the needs of each character. And this is the new realization for me, is that it's not one character or the other that gets dominant preferred attention, but that all of them have their needs satisfied. So the opportunity I see is to continue to do my best to bring them together and align their interests, giving each of them the space they need to feel like they're an active participant in this co-created life by my design. We all know what it feels like when we experience flow. This is a byproduct of each character operating in alignment with one another, not just because we denied entry to all but one. But it does not have to happen seemingly by accident. And I think this is the real nugget here for myself. When I'm more mindful, I'm able to notice what or who is wanting to be heard and acknowledged, and in that moment, provide them with what they need so that I can honor who and how we, the collective me, want to be in this world. I think it's safe to say most artists and creatives want to stay tapped into their character three and four more often. But to deny your character one and two has you attempting to deny what defines you. We are all four.